Can you sense that apocalypse is in the air?
Jesus himself referred to his own coming 21 times. And for every time the first coming of Christ is mentioned in the Bible, the second coming is mentioned 8 times. And we are exhorted in the New Testament over 50 times to be ready for the coming of Christ.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan features two guests, Todd Hampson and David Fiorazzo. They will both consider some issues relating to today's church. Even the secular world is noting that something has gone wrong in our world. Shouldn't the church be offering an explanation of both our time and what's to come? Here is today's programming.
Glad you can join me today on Understanding the Times Radio. In part one of my programming, I'm asking the question as to why the church has dropped the glorious news that the King is coming. And most of us can remember a time in the church where this was at least acknowledged, and very often it was addressed from the pulpits regularly, certainly in my background of some years ago now. And yes, there are many different interpretations within eschatology or the doctrine of the last days. This ministry holds to what's called premillennial dispensationalism, which believes in a literal rapture, a literal tribulation, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble or Daniel's 70th week. It believes in a literal second coming, a literal millennium, new heavens and a new earth, and Israel playing the major role in the end time scenario, and that the church has definitely not replaced Israel. And now we watch daily the setup for the tribulation as things line up for the final act of the drama of humanity, at least the final act for the drama of the church age. I think we should clarify, because we've got another 7 years followed by 1,000 years before the wind-up and the entry into the new heavens and the new earth. So people want to connect the dots and have what is happening make sense to them. At least some do. So I've invited on this week's Part 1 programming author Todd Hampson. I want to talk to him about some of the things I've just outlined. Todd is a prolific author. He's co-host of the popular podcast, The Prophecy Pros. Todd, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you so much, Jan. It's an honor to be here.
You've covered this topic on one of your podcasts, which I listened to in its entirety. Tell the audience what your conclusion was. Then I want to add to it some thoughts of mine and have a discussion.
I just turned 51, so my generation, we're familiar with the Left Behind series. We're kind of after the late Great Planet Earth era, and then the 80s, it was just assumed that everyone in evangelicalism believed in the rapture and everything that you just laid out. And then the Left Behind series helped reignite some fires for my generation. But since then, because there are different views and infighting and unfortunately a lot of date setting and sensationalism, the evangelical church at large has thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Yes. And just said, we're not going to talk about Bible prophecy or eschatology at all because it causes division, and we'll just let people study that on their own. Well, that has generated a whole new generation of pastors who are used to that model and unfortunately don't teach what the Bible tells us about our amazing end, other than the fact that we win and Jesus comes back. So there's some understandable reasons for it, the infighting and the multiple views. There's also some troubling reasons for it. One, a lot of seminaries aren't even teaching it before, and that's troubling. Also, because of the recent studies showing the great decline in Christianity in our era, every study, whether it's Pew Research or Barna, shows that biblical worldview is going by the wayside, even within evangelicalism. Biblical illiteracy is at an all-time high, so people aren't studying those other things. A lot of churches are starting to latch onto the least common denominator. Let's just talk about Jesus and salvation and the resurrection. All those are amazing things, but we're leaving a quarter of the Bible out, casting it to the wayside and not teaching Bible prophecy and eschatology.
I want to play a short clip of Dr. Mark Hitchcock that's going to complement what you just said and perhaps even complement my introduction. This clip is 3-4 years old, but obviously everything that he's stating is still extremely relevant.
As Pastor Jack said, he's asked me to speak on the topic, why is Bible prophecy important now? Why is it important in our lives now? And I hope this message I'm going to bring will be a very practical message for us. In fact, we could call this message, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. because really it's the old Fleetwood Mac song. Why should we today be thinking about tomorrow? Someone has well said, they said, I'm interested in the future because that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Now, that's a pretty good reason to think about tomorrow, but there are some other good reasons, I think, from Scripture why we should spend time thinking about tomorrow. And I want to give 10 of those to us, so we'll have those on the screen over here for you to write these down as we go through these. The first one is, the first reason, I think just a practical reason, why Bible prophecy is important now is that people everywhere are thinking about it. Out in our secular culture today, people are thinking about the end times. I like to just put it like this, apocalypse is in the air. It's just kind of a sense that people have that this world is getting near closing time. In fact, I read a recent poll that said 41% of Americans, this isn't Christians, 41% of Americans believe the end times have arrived. More than 3/4 of evangelicals, that's about 77%, more than half of Protestants, about 54%, agree that the world is currently living in the end times as described in the prophecies of the Bible. There's a poll that just came out, in fact, it just came out Friday, says this. The title says, many Americans link U.S. military strike in Syria to end times. Says the threat of airstrikes against Syria has more than a few Americans thinking about the end of the world. A recent poll from Nashville-based Lifeway Research found that almost 1 in 3 Americans see Syria's recent conflict as part of the Bible's plan for the end times. So 1 out of 3 people see that as part of the Bible's plan. 1 in 4 think a U.S. military strike in Syria could lead to Armageddon. And 1 in 5 believe that the world will end in their lifetime. So this isn't Christians. 1 out of 5 people out there in America believe the world is going to end in their lifetime. And you've got all these movies out there and all these books that are about these post-apocalyptic scenarios. So obviously people are highly interested in this. And so to me, whenever there's that kind of interest about anything out there in our culture, the church needs to move in and to answer that need. And to me, it's an opening for all of us as God's people to tell people what the Bible really says about the future. But for us to move in and to explain to people what the Bible says, what God says is going to happen, we have to know about it ourselves.
Just a quick heads up that we just brought Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley to the Twin Cities back on June the 9th, and we have a DVD of that evening, and they covered the Global Reset. You can also find that at my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video. You can see the full presentation from that night, Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley. The Global Reset, Do Current Events Point to the Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? Todd Hampson, Mark's clip there seemed to be focusing a little bit more on secular people who are open and asking some questions. And we need to distinguish because we've got the church. Folks are sitting in the pews week after week, sometimes even twice throughout the week, not hearing anything from the pulpit. And we have the secular world who's astute enough to be watching headlines and saying, hey, something's going on here. Mm-hmm. And yet the church seems to be silent.
It's really mind-blowing. We live at a time when there's the most prophetic developments happening since the first century, I would argue, beginning with the birth of Israel and then everything we're seeing converging right now. And almost the least amount of interest, although Jeff and I both are seeing a grassroots remnant hunger to learn the truth. And it's on everyone's minds. We were both speaking at the largest Christian school in Arkansas about a year and a half ago. I asked the students, this was all middle school and high school students, how many of you have ever done a study on Revelation or eschatology or Bible prophecy? Not a single hand went up. Then I said, now, how many of you in the last week have thought about Jesus's return, the end of the world, or the crazy stuff that's going on in the world? Every single hand in the room that I could see went up. People are hungry for it, so we've got to find a way to answer these big questions. Sure. And we're also seeing even non-believers are asking the questions. This is a ministry opportunity I never would have dreamed we had. Jeff and I were invited to speak to a secular all-women's college in the northeast area of our country, agnostics. They are anthropologists studying what Christians believe. And it was an amazing opportunity. They basically asked us for our testimony. They said, come tell us what it is about Christianity that drew you to it, because both Jeff and I come from an unchurched background. So they're like, what convinced you to become a Christian? And what do you believe about the end times? So we had this incredible opportunity to present that to a completely secular audience. believe it or not, it went really well. We don't know if anyone accepted the Lord, but I'm sure we piqued some interest. People are asking the big questions. People want to know what's going on. Why is everything so unstable? Why are there mass shootings and our culture's falling apart? And there's rumors of war everywhere, instability and corruption, a crisis of leadership. All of this is scary until you put it together with Bible prophecy. And we remind people this is exactly what Jesus said the world would look like.
And apocalypse is in the air. That is what Mark Hitchcock said in that clip. You can learn more about Todd, toddhampson.com, toddhampson.com. Just a quick heads up that we carry four of his current products. We carry the Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times, plus a study guide for that. We carry Nonprofit's Guide to Revelation, and we carry the book that he has co-written with Jeff Kinley, which is Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. I'll give that one more time. Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to the Tough Questions About the End Times. Online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and then to our store. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I've caught up with Todd Hampson here, and we're talking about, well, one of his Prophecy Pros podcasts I tuned into with co-host Jeff Kinley, and they were talking about the absence in the pulpit of issues that are of keen importance to a lot of listeners. In other words, current events, how they tie to the Bible, and urgently needed right now issues concerning end of the church age, return of the Lord, rapture of the church, followed by 7-year tribulation, followed by second coming. Simply not taught or taught. In some cases, it's being talked about with theology that is not accurate. For instance, many, many churches embrace, and I refer to this often, amillennialism, which would be no belief in the end time issues and churches Israel. Others have embraced kingdom now theology or dominionism, which says the church will do everything in the last days. Israel is really of no relevance. Or postmillennialism, we can't get into that now. Or replacement theology, the church is the new Israel. So with any of those theologies, it's just as well they stay away from eschatology because they will definitely abuse it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'll add one component to that. Part of it is end time spiritual warfare, that the enemy is doing his best to confuse the issue so people won't teach it. Jeff and I, through our podcasts and through the books that both of us write, and definitely in all my Nonprofits Guide books, I try to simplify concepts for people who have never studied it before. So everything you just mentioned can be a little overwhelming for people who are just coming to it. You know, I was looking at a commentary this morning that was 443 pages just on Revelation.
Okay.
So I see why people are overwhelming. One thing I try to point out to people is that you need a proper interpretation method. There are only really four interpretation methods about how to study the end times and Bible prophecy. And I won't go through all four of those, but three of them allegorize scripture and pour your own meaning into it, and the text loses its meaning. And that's preterism, historicism, and idealism. The only proper method, I believe, and I believe it's proper because it's the same way we study scripture from cover to cover, is the literal futurist method. All past prophecy, and even believers who hold those other interpretation methods, will agree that past prophecy with the first coming of Christ was fulfilled literally just like it was foretold. So there's no reason we now should switch to a different hermeneutic moving forward and say, okay, but the stuff in the future is too crazy. It's all symbolism and it all means whatever we want it to mean. No, God means what he says what he means. He's not the author of confusion. He finished his canon with the crescendo of scripture, with the final book. Everything that the entire Bible has talked about culminates in the book of Revelation, and it's an entire book of prophecy all about what's in our future. So there's no reason we should switch hermeneutics or complicate the issue. If we just take scripture at its face value, then we will understand prophecy and eschatology a lot better and a lot easier than most people think they will.
I'm just going to hit a few more bullet points as to why the pulpits may be silent on particularly this issue of eschatology. I think some of them throw in a doom and gloom factor. In other words, it's too dark, it's too confusing. However, the blessed hope or the pre-tribulation rapture, which we hold to so closely, it calls that rapture our blessed hope. That's hardly doom and gloom. Another idea came to me, Todd. There is a fringe factor in eschatology. I was watching some older videos of Harold Camping, and he started setting dates in about 1994. Then he came up with another date in 2011. in May of 2011, didn't happen. Then set another date of October 2011. Obviously, nothing happens because no human being has privilege to know these dates. And then they focused on some followers of Mr. Camping and how their life was literally shattered when these dates didn't become fulfilled. One man spent about $150,000 preparing himself and others for the end. I think it would have been May 11th, 2011. But who can blame a pastor or church leader or teacher from wanting to stay away from this so-called fringe factor?
I'm so glad you brought that up. And actually, I had that on my list almost word for word. There is a fringe element. There are those out there that are date setting or coming to these really strange conclusions. Every pastor will tell you, even pastors who have been teaching prophecy for a long time, I'm sure they could share stories with you that when they teach prophecy, and again, I think this is some spiritual warfare, there's going to be some strange, obscure person that corners them after they preach and try to pin them down on some weird detail, and that discourages them from it. But that shouldn't keep them from teaching the full canon of God. Even if Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, the next generation needs to understand eschatology and Bible prophecy. That fringe element is a huge thing and a great discouragement to pastors. They need us to encourage and support them at every turn. It's a tough topic, and they're busy dealing with marriages falling apart and church issues. So we need to pray for and support our pastors. I always try to mention that because I never want someone to take our words and say, oh, Todd or Jan or Jeff telling me to go tell my pastor how to preach. Not at all. We want you to support your pastor, be an influence as you can, where you are, in whatever way you can. And if God opens up that door for you to be an influence, then that's a great thing.
Todd Hampson is a prolific author. We're carrying a number of his products, The Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times with a workbook, Nonprofit's Guide to Revelation, and then we carry the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions about the End Times. Get on my newsletter lists, e and print, check out my online store, or give my office a call and we'll help you with any of those items. And I'm looking at a headline, Todd Hampson. The headline says, what percentage of Americans believe that we are living in the end times? Let me just read two paragraphs from it. It reads, of course, the mainstream media would have us think that only those on the outer fringes of society believe that these are the end times, but a brand new survey that was just released suggests otherwise. The Joshua Fund commissioned a survey that asked respondents to answer some very specific questions about current events. Surprisingly, it turns out that a substantial portion of the population actually believes that events happening in the world today are directly related to Bible prophecy. Nearly 40%, 39.9%, said they agree that the invasion, and this would be of Ukraine, is a sign of biblical prophecy coming to pass and of the last days. And 40% agreed that the COVID pandemic is a sign of biblical prophecy coming to pass in the last days. I believe they may have, this is the Joshua Fund, may have quizzed both believers and unbelievers. But this just goes back to what we're talking about moments ago, Todd, and that is that people are seeing things are haywire in the world. Mm-hmm. Hardly anything works right anymore, including government, maybe starting with government. And throughout the last 3.5 months, we've watched a country be invaded and the civilian population targeted to annihilate the civilians of Ukraine, plus a pandemic, plus utter lawlessness, not just in the streets of the world, but particularly America's capital, utter lawlessness. They're asking questions, and a lot of them want answers.
Jan, this is why Bible prophecy and eschatology are so incredibly important for this specific generation, because when people witness all of that chaos and instability, it's so overwhelming and coming from so many different directions, they have no grid to filter that through, and they just see it as complete craziness. Yeah. But those of us who study Bible prophecy and eschatology, which should be every believer, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were both written to new believers by Paul, and he taught in their membership 101 class eschatology. If we have that grid to view these things through, then suddenly we see this makes sense. This is lining up exactly like prophecy said. I often challenge people to put yourself in the mindset of someone who was born in the early 1900s, Russia was, quote unquote, a Christian nation. Persia was still Persia. Turkey was wooing the West, but it was part of the Ottoman Empire, and Israel wasn't even a nation yet. Now all of that has changed. Every single thing I just mentioned, along with the technology that's needed for the tribulation and other conditions, globalism,
right,
all of that is in place, converging in our day right here, but people do not see it if they don't have that grid to filter it through.
Some would tell us that no one knows the future, but in a sense we do. We don't know the timing of things in the future, but the Bible outlines in detail the future. And for the believer, it's glorious. For the believer, we have an eternal home waiting for us that is absolutely perfect. For the unbeliever, the future is unspeakable. I mean, we talk about it on this program often, and it's extremely dark for the unbelievers. But the statement, no one knows the future, that's so untrue, because Todd, you and I are blessed to know the future just because of what we study.
Absolutely. In the 1700s and late 1600s, there was groups of people who started returning to a literal interpretation of scripture and saying, every Old Testament prophet except for Jonah says that Israel will be a nation again in the end times. So they started preaching that. People told them they were absolutely crazy. Well, here, Israel became a nation again. To me, that should be a bright light on Bible prophecy and the fact that literal interpretation can let us know the key things that are going to happen in the future. We don't know all the details and how it all takes place, but nothing happens in a vacuum. So if we're nearing the time of the Lord's return, we should expect to see some of these stage setting developments. And that's exactly what we see. Just like with the first coming, there are a small remnant of people, Anna and Simeon and the wise men from the East, who were watching the conditions of the day line up with what scripture said the first coming of the Lord would look like. And they understood the time they were in. Again, they didn't know the day or the hour, but they were in tune with the signs and reading the weather and the trends. They knew that the Lord was coming at that time. Similarly, in our day, it seems that every biblical sign category is having the groundwork being laid right before our eyes.
Talking to Todd Hampson, he is co-host of the popular podcast known as The Prophecy Pros. Todd, how can folks access your podcast?
If they just go to prophecyprospodcast.com, they can access all of the previous seasons. And also if they go to any of their favorite podcast outlets.
I guess I'm asking the question, and again, I'm playing off a recent podcast you co-host with Jeff Kinley. And that is, why are the pulpits so silent about the issues and about the king is coming, etc.? How much time do we have? How late is the hour? And we're giving some reasons perhaps why the pulpits are silent, and therefore the sheep are just struggling to know how to cope in these closing days of the church age. And I'm asking the question, Todd, is shouldn't we be striving to please God by preaching the whole counsel of God? Now, another book that's marginalized is Genesis. And I think the bookends are marginalized, Genesis and Revelation. My take is that leaders and pastors must both warn and encourage, and Bible prophecy certainly does warn and encourage, and particularly like you and I are pre-tribulation rapture believers, that's great encouragement. Bible even says comfort one another with these words. I think that's our challenge in this segment, is it not, Todd, that we need to be warning and we need to be encouraging? And please, pastors, preach the whole counsel.
Yes, that would be my heart's plea right there. And I grew up unchurched. Yeah. I believed in evolution. I didn't believe in God. But when I saw the evidence for the reliability of scripture, for a literal six-day creation in scientific method and in the Bible, that convinced me. When I saw fulfilled prophecy as a key apologetic that the Bible is the word of God, that gave me a love for prophecy and eschatology. The enemy, again, this is a spiritual warfare component. If he can gut Genesis and Revelation, then he's in many ways won the battle of people's minds, because the two things people need to know the most are, where did I come from and where am I going? Mm-hmm. What are my roots and what is my future? And that's what Genesis and Revelation, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Jan, because those are the two key things that have been attacked more than any other book. If Genesis isn't literal and real, then the foundation of why we need a savior in the first place makes no sense. If Revelation isn't literal and real, then we really don't know what's happening in our future. So we've got to reclaim our belief in the inerrancy. We've got to reclaim preaching the full counsel of God. One quarter of the Bible, at least, is made up of Bible prophecy. So if we're not touching on Bible prophecy, it's like sitting on a stool with three legs instead of four. It's unstable. It's unhealthy. We've got to preach the full counsel of God.
ToddHampson.com. ToddHampson.com. I'm down to literally a couple of minutes, Todd. Let me ask you this, and I'll ask you to be succinct, but it's important. We have literally untold thousands listening right now asking the question, what can I do? I'm in a church, it's gospel preaching, but they would never touch this topic ever. What do you tell them?
I often tell people it's a lot like the first century where each believer has to really seek the Lord for themselves. If you're truly in a solid Bible-believing church that just hasn't broached this yet, pray. Pray for an opportunity to be an influence, whether it's through leading a small group, having a conversation with your pastor, or just some other way. Ask God to show you. I believe we're here, and in some senses, I believe we're intentionally spread out, those of us who see what's going on in the world, so that we can have as broad an influence. But that's lonely at times. A lot of times we can't find another believer who sees things the way we do. That's why we've got to capitalize on opportunities like listening to Jan Markell's show and going to conferences and encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:29, do not neglect assembling together. All the more, encourage one another as you see that day drawing close. And we're seeing that day draw close with each passing day.
Just a quick heads up that we have taken on a number of new radio stations, all with the Salem Media Group. If that network is in these following cities, you can look it up on our website. We now are on the Salem Media Group within Washington, D.C. That's WAVA, New York City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Columbus, Ohio, Atlanta, Orlando, Florida, Little Rock, Arkansas, Chicago, Oxnard, California, Sacramento, California, Los Angeles, KKLA, San Diego, K-Praise. And starting July 2nd, Colorado Springs, Colorado. All of that airing Saturdays, Sundays, Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host here, and I feature interesting and I think provocative interviews on a weekly basis. Today, privileged to talk to author Todd Hampson. Learn more at toddhampson.com and look throughout my online store, olivetreeviews.org, for the products of Todd's that we carry. Todd, we will stay in touch. I want to thank you for all that you do and all the good things you're getting down, particularly in book form. My understanding is you've got even a new book. Is it for children?
Yes, ma'am. We just came out with one for kids, really trying to teach that next generation and equip parents to do that as well.
And we don't carry it, so where could folks find it?
Go to my website, toddhampson.com. It'll give them several outlets, but their favorite online bookstore should sell it.
Thanks for all you do, Todd. We'll stay in touch.
Likewise. Thank you as well, Jan.
I'm going to continue this discussion in part two of my programming with David Fiorazzo. We're going to talk about the fact that recent Barna poll shows that just over a third of Christian pastors, 37%, have a biblical worldview. Imagine that, only 37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. Well, that's going to have an effect on the very topic we've just talked about here for the last 30 minutes. That and much more coming up in part two of my program.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. Revelation was written because God wants us to know what the future holds. For Christians, the prophetic truths within provide wisdom, reassurance, and hope that God will indeed make all things new. That is why we are carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, Revealing Revelation, How God's Plans for the Future Can Change Your Life Now. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office, Central Time, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We charge no shipping in the U.S. and Canada. There is an accompanying workbook that is optional, suitable for individual or group study. God wants us to understand the past, present, and future as we await His return.
Churches want to be compassionate, So why not love everybody? Well, of course we love everybody, but we want to share the gospel with them because God loves them too much to keep them just the way they are if they're living in sin.
Jan Markell is now joined by author and broadcaster David Fiorazzo. If the church is in the age of Laodicea, what can we do to try to bring stability and sound doctrine into it? Is it too late for that? Are we on the cusp of the Lord's return to rapture his church, and there isn't even time to reform it and to return it to sound doctrine? Here's the conclusion of our programming.
This is news from Family Council. If you're wondering what's wrong with America's churches, a poll by George Barna of Arizona Christian University might be your answer. And it's why many are calling for a spiritual awakening in America's pulpits. The nationwide study of about 1,000 Christian pastors found that just slightly more than a third hold a biblical worldview. The majority, 62%, possess a hybrid worldview known as syncretism. The research included 54 worldview-related questions, and it found that only 47% of pastors have a biblical worldview regarding family and value of life, 44% concerning issues related to God, creation, and history, 43% in relation to personal faith practices, 43% when it comes to matters of sin, salvation, and one's relationship with God, 40% pertaining to human character and human nature, and 40% when it comes to measures of lifestyle, personal behavior, and relationships.
Welcome to part two of my programming. I am continuing on my discussion of the church, as well as some other troubling issues of our day. And my guest this segment is author and radio host David Fiorazzo, and we carry his book, it's excellent by the way, Canceling Christianity, How the Left Silences Churches, Dismantles the Constitution, and Divides Our Culture. He's a radio host of the popular podcast Stand Up for the Truth, that is heard on Q90 in Green Bay, but also heard around the world online. I enjoy being a guest on the program now and then, and you can access the program again online anytime. By the way, they have some extremely provocative topics and guests. It's a very informative hour. David, welcome back to the programming.
It's a blessing to be here again, Jan. Thank you.
David, I just spent 30 minutes talking about some church issues that the church won't deal with today, which I know you're more than familiar with that. And I opened this segment with a very troubling fact, the Barna poll, which you have written about, that a very low percentage of pastors, they simply do not have a biblical worldview. You've written about this. Give me your thoughts right up front. Then I want to read a paragraph or two from an article that you've written.
37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview today, slightly more than a third. One of my first observations, Jan, and you'll appreciate this, I think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the Confessing Church in Germany. Approximately a third of German pastors had that biblical worldview at that time, and those were the ones that tradition holds, they stood up against Hitler to what was going on there in Nazi Germany. Only a third. Here we are in America with very eerily similar numbers, a third of pastors with a biblical worldview. And part of that worldview, Jan, as we've talked about so many times, is to be salt and light in our culture, not to be silenced, not to keep our faith under a basket inside church walls, but we've got to impact our culture. We're losing it in America. We understand how culture goes. Culture will go the way of the world, our government, the major institutions in America, and Hollywood, and corporations. But when you're talking about the church and church leaders, it is hard not to be disappointed by this. And I know a lot of your listeners have dealt with this in their churches.
And I'm just quoting a paragraph you've written on the topic. And again, the percentage of pastors that fall into this category seems to be up for debate, and I'm reading 37%, 40%. It should be 99% is, I think, our point. You write this, David, we cannot fix something until we know it is broken. And according to the latest Barna research, the American church is in dire need of repentance, repair, and a reawakening. This time, the study focuses on Christian pastors, their philosophy, and worldview. It's common sense and only natural to expect your church leaders to have a proper foundation and understanding of Scripture. But the new nationwide survey of pastors shows a large majority do not even have a biblical worldview. I know, David, some of the things they aren't teaching. By the way, that was the first portion of my programming today. They're not teaching eschatology with a very little reference to current events and how they might tie to the Bible. how to cope with our trying times, the fact that time is running out. These are just a few topics that aren't being covered, and I'm sure you hear the same from your listeners.
Yes, one of the most common things we get is, why doesn't my pastor address Bible prophecy, Old Testament, Revelation, the minor prophets, and why can't we talk about in church on a Sunday morning what's happening outside of church walls that affect Christians, that affect laws in our country, our government, legislation, that affect the entertainment we take in and who's putting that out there and the agendas behind that, the cultural Marxism in our country. But what's disturbing, Jan, syncretism plays into this. And when it comes to pastors, it's really disturbing that a number of pastors have a combination of different forms of belief or understanding in their worldview. We've talked about this religious pluralism, where a lot of people believe a little bit of yoga, a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of the New Age, a little bit of these other isms are okay. You add that together and you've got religious pluralism, a lot of things that you really can't build truth and a foundation on. But when it comes to religious leaders and Christians, these are the ones that you would think went to the right seminary and have that education behind them and have the theological understanding and worldview foundation that shouldn't be in question. But yet they seem to be conforming to the world. They seem to be confused. That's when we have to understand it's in the church. We're not talking about out there anymore. We're talking about in the church when it comes to leadership.
Sign up for David's articles that come out very frequently. You can do so at davidfiorazzo.com, davidfiorazzo.com. You'll get an article and a video. I'm going to play a minute and a half of you, David. You're expounding on exactly what we're talking about.
Now, an obvious consequence of pastors conforming to worldly influences and philosophies is that the people they lead are likely also to lack a biblical worldview. To be blunt, many churchgoers are not even converted, or they're in contradiction between what they claim to believe and how they live their lives. We've talked about this a lot. Rather than study the Bible and live out God's word, some have a country club Christianity or a cotton candy Christianity. Others seek to please man and put progressive social justice ideas ahead of the Bible. Things that may sound good or compassionate, like diversity, inclusion, equity, being, quote, welcoming. Now, another concerning part of the new study is even more alarming. Check this out. Only 12% of children's pastors and youth pastors today have a biblical worldview. Did you hear that? 12%. Why does this matter? It is well known that a young person's worldview primarily develops before their teenage years, after which it gets refined somewhat in their 20s. So, takeaway number 3 from this new Barna research is the fact 7 out of 8 youth pastors lack a biblical worldview.
David, that blew me away, and that is so serious, particularly in light of all the turmoil young people go through today and the culture collapsing on them. How do you think this happened?
Look at our culture and look at the public school system. Who's teaching your kids? Now we bring that into the church. Who's teaching your kids? It's a shame we have to ask the same question. For years, Jan, in some of these seeker-sensitive churches, they brought in youth pastors, and their primary job, maybe in their understanding of it, was to entertain them. You've heard about some of the goofy games kids would play because they want to keep the kids involved and engaged. Well, they're not making disciples. They're not building on any kind of a foundation of faith that will help them be able to give an answer for the faith that they have. This is part of the problem when not only pastors, youth pastors are even less when it comes to the biblical worldview. 12%, that's horrific. But we have to say, those of us who have been doing this research, we're not surprised at all that teachers of young people, they just want to keep the kids engaged, but they're using worldly methods to do it. They're not using the Bible and biblical truth, but they're using worldly means. And once you start doing that, you've got to continue to use these worldly methods and entertaining methods to keep the kids occupied.
I'm staying in this theme for a moment here. You write, the confusion and disconnect is in part a result of losing focus on the authority of God's word. Then you go on, syrupy sermons, topical relevant series, a refusal to teach Bible prophecy, accommodation of sin, a fear of man, and failure to address the culture, confront evil, and equip the saints. And then you say, This research is disheartening, and yet it helps us to understand why the American church has generally caved to the culture, lost influence, and declined so rapidly. And yet, thank God for the remnant. Hold the line, friends. The Bible has much to say about men who have crept into the church, as well as others who fall away from truth. And in the interest of time, I need to move on to a second topic. But David, first, what do you recommend people do who are in the predicament we just outlined?
Adults know what your pastor's worldview is by what they teach in church and the conversations you've had with them. But when it comes to youth pastors, you've got to be very careful, because most parents would probably not know exactly what goes on at youth group. You've really got to follow up with what are they being taught, who's teaching it, what are the worldviews, are they against Christianity? When it comes into the church, you've got to say, well, what are they doing at youth group? And just try to have these open conversations with your children as often as possible. And worst case scenario, pull them out of youth group if you're concerned about the youth leader, because this research, they're not making this up. They really talk to youth pastors and children's pastors around the country. Sure, the percentage might be a little more or less, but it's pretty accurate from Barna. They do their due diligence. We've really got to be better at protecting our kids and making sure they're learning the biblical worldview.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Green Bay, Wisconsin, David Fiorazzo. Sign up for his insights. You can get them all at davidfiorazzo.com. He hosts Stand Up for the Truth Radio, Q90, out of Green Bay, but you can access that online anytime. Best website for that is standupforthetruth.com, David?
Yes, for the podcast,
yes. Podcast, standupforthetruth.com. Fascinating topics and guests. And just a quick reminder, fraud and scams continue on some of our social media platforms, some of them asking for money, so be very careful. And be very aware of the theft of over 500 of our YouTube videos by someone, probably China or Thailand. You write and ask, well, how do we know which ones are really yours, Jan? By the number of subscribers. We have over 163,000 subscribers on YouTube, so look for that and you'll know you're on our legitimate channel. And you can also get the video version of our programming on Rumble, where there's no scamming of our ministry. LightSource, our website, olivetreeviews.org, his channel, Christian TV. You'll retain a lot more by watching the video version of our program, Understanding the Times Radio. Okay, David, just a thought here, because we are seeing rising threats of violence towards everyone of all ages. And I think it's important, in particular when we talk worldview, that the left is always going to blame, let's be blunt here, they're going to blame guns, because the left is godless. And since they are godless, they do not understand man's sinful nature. They believe mankind is inherently good and government is God. So I was glad to see the truth in this headline. Liberals condemn tragic shooting. This would have been in Texas a few weeks ago now. Liberals condemn tragic shooting as child sacrifice, but they support the child sacrifice of abortion. David, this to me seems like the ultimate irony.
Well, it's a contradiction too, isn't it? And part of it stems from the fact that they don't see what happens in a mother's womb when a woman becomes pregnant. They don't see that as a human life. That's the foundational issue here. When does life begin? We believe at conception. But what kind of life is it? It's got to be life, because dead things don't grow. And if it's a life in a human being, then of course it's got to be human life. But it's a glaring contradiction, because they can stand up for children in a public school, as they should, and protect all life. But there's a disconnect when it comes to life in a mother's womb.
This article, I believe it was on Life News. I'll read one paragraph. And again, the headline, folks, liberals condemn tragic shooting as child sacrifice, but support the child sacrifice of abortion on Life News. And they say, if every gun in America were confiscated tomorrow, the endemic mass killing of abortion would remain. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that a technocratic tweak can alleviate America's moral malaise. And may we never speak of child sacrifice again until we make wombs safer than a Texas school. That was a provocative article that I came across. I'm moving on to another one you have written, David. And I think what I'm going to do to introduce this short segment is play another soundbite of, dare I say, drag queens coming to your local church. down the street from you that you thought was probably pretty safe, possibly having drag queens come and visit?
People in Durham found a unique way to oppose a decision by leaders of the United Methodist Church and support members of the Triangle's LGBTQ community. CBS 17's Zach Dahlheimer shows us how they came together to spread their message.
It's loud, it's celebratory.
People packed Calvary United Methodist Church in Durham Saturday. They called it Drag Me to Church.
It brings such good and positive energy.
Chris Agaranos is the church's pastor and is behind all members.
I told them as their pastor that I love them and that I'm committed to them.
After United Methodist Church leaders decided to uphold a ban on same-sex marriage and ordaining LGBTQ clergy.
Our voice of resistance to that is to be a space of celebration that holds space for everybody, that loves and affirms everybody.
It's a church that helped save my life.
How many of you have never been to a drag show before?
David Prater shares that same message and seeing a family-friendly drag show and silent auction at the church, opposing the decision while supporting the Durham Church's LGBTQ youth group Inside Out 180.
I've made a bunch of friends here, and it's really helped with my mental health.
Gus Savara is a member of Inside Out 180.
I think it's a good way to promote diversity, and it's also a form of like peaceful protest in a way.
It's not about being apart from, it's about being a part of.
Organizers say they hope to continue events like this, standing up for all.
David, you've actually written an article. Folks, you can get these articles in your inbox. Just visit davidfiorazzo.com. So-called Christian church hosts drag show for 12-plus-year-olds. You're actually commenting on the United Church of Christ in Naples, Florida. I'm going to read a paragraph or two from your article, but go ahead. I want your reaction to the clip you just heard, and then let's move on into what you've written.
Apostasy. We've known the United Church of Christ has gone off the rails of sound doctrine. The United Methodist Church has generally done the same thing. One of the reasons is those code words that we mentioned earlier, welcoming,
yes,
diversity, inclusion, equity, social justice. They're using these to promote sin. It is this agenda behind what they're pushing, and it is godless. But here's what they're doing. They've duped some churches because churches want to be compassionate. So why not love everybody? Well, of course we love everybody, but we want to share the gospel with them because God loves them too much to keep them just the way they are if they're living in sin. But they don't want to address sin. So these issues, these are things we have to deal with inside the church now. I've seen rainbow flags,
yes,
outside of many churches, and now, unfortunately, they're not talking about the book of Genesis. They've redefined the rainbow and what that means, and I can't imagine how God feels about this.
And you write in one of your commentaries on May 21st, United Church of Christ, Naples, Florida, hosted a Youth Pride Conference, a free event for kids as young as 12. Think about that, folks. You know some 12-year-olds. They're not ready for this. A free event for kids as young as 12 and featured a drag show. Several things are very wrong. First, in these days of blatant apostasy, we now must clarify and define what a church is and what it means to be Christian. It is well known to discerning Bible believers that the UCC, United Church of Christ, left the reservation of sound doctrine decades ago. Second, the LGBTQ church event was initially going to use local middle schools as pickup points to bus kids to the conference. Third, scripture as well as world history teach the evils of pride, and in fact, it is one of the sins that God hates. Attendees were asked to register and enter their pronouns, the name of their church, and then enjoy free shuttle transportation at so-and-so Golden Gate Middle Schools. Here's what I'm concluding, David Fiorazzo. We've got seared consciences here. We've got a Romans 1 mentality, which is that of utter depravity on the part of the leaders promoting and pastors promoting such things. We've got 2 Timothy 3, evil is waxing worse and worse in the last days. We've got the verse, everyone doing right in his own eyes, evil being called good. And I just never thought I'd see the day that I'm reporting on what I'm reporting.
You and me both, Jan. Even the pastor tried to host a gay prom last month for the children, that same pastor. We're running into this across the country at way too many churches. We are not shocked because we know the direction of man and the moral decline. But the excuses that you hear, the school system was pulled into this because they originally wanted to bus kids to this church Friday from the schools. And they said, quote, the district was never informed. They always say, oh, we didn't know anything about this. And yet in those schools, hallways are plastered with rainbow flags and they are all in for the LGBTQ agenda. They just didn't want to be affiliated with a church event. One more thing, the reverend. And by the way, you can call anybody a reverend, a pastor, a church leader. What does that mean anymore? His name is Dawson Taylor. He became a senior minister 2016. He holds a BA in political science. He didn't study theology. So please show me in the Bible where it says one of the requirements to lead a congregation and to shepherd a flock under God is to have a degree in politics or secular government. One more thing about him, he's tied in with Black Lives Matter. He boasted a hashtag BLM in support of the Marxist-driven anti-Christian organization. He has that on his Twitter page. He is a proud, quote, progressive in his own words. So we're not surprised by the direction of this, but the question comes back, how are we calling this a church and how are we referring to him as a, quote, reverend when they are so far off of the biblical foundation?
We carry David's book, Canceling Christianity, How the Left Silences Churches, Dismantles the Constitution, and Divides Our Culture. I think I'll play one more clip of you, David, and it's reinforcing actually what you just said. And folks, when you sign up for his articles, you get articles and videos, etc. Very, very helpful and informative, particularly in the crazy times in which we live.
The important thing, let's address the church, quote, that hosted and blesses the perversion. Naples, UCC, United Church of Christ, is led by Reverend Dawson Taylor. Their website says, Dawson became senior minister in 2016 and holds a BA in political science. Remember, just because a man has a title of pastor, reverend, or minister, doesn't mean we can believe that they are serving under the traditional roles for pastor outlined in the Bible. These days, you just need to be a progressive, a liberal, or a friend of the world to be a leader at some churches. A biblical education and proper application of Scripture is not required in many of these churches. Case in point, the good Reverend Dawson tried hosting a gay prom at his church last month for children. He also describes himself as being a proud progressive. In his Twitter bio, which has since been removed, at least this part of it was, he boasted hashtag BLM in support of the Marxist-driven, anti-family, anti-Christian activist organization that spreads hate and racial division. It's also not a shocker that Dawson stands with big abortion business, Planned Parenthood. There you go. A few months ago, he tweeted this, "We are all Ukraine. We are all transgender young people. We are all women who need access to health care without government interference. Let us pray, especially for those oppressed by bullies with power." I'm just wondering who or what God, small g, he is praying to. We'll get back to that another time. But it's no wonder the latest Barna research that we reported on right here last week found 62% of pastors today lacking a biblical worldview. The church justifies twisted theology under the guise of popular code words and language. You ready again for this refresher? Compassion, diversity, inclusion, progressive, welcoming, and boasts about being one of the many UCC churches that advocate for personal and social responsibility, end quote. There you have it. Not biblical, but a social gospel. Some declare that this is another gospel that we are warned about, and that's warned against in Scripture.
David Fiorazzo, let's wrap this segment up, and let's remind folks that, first of all is not lost. They're here for such a time as this, my listening audience. We need to be ending on a little bit higher note. You go ahead.
We understand this is the way of the world, and we have a hope that can never perish, fade, or spoil, and that hope is a deposit in our soul, guaranteeing our inheritance. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, Jen, I'm encouraging your listeners, don't check out. Don't stay at home. Don't just be in what you perceive to be safety. We've got to have an effect on this world because souls are at stake. That's our job, to love those who really are unlovable at times, love those who really hate us. But isn't that the story of the Apostle Paul and the early church and so many martyrs throughout the centuries that laid it out on the line and they weren't concerned about pleasing man? Paul wrote, "Do I seek to please men? If I pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ." So I want to encourage you guys that are listening to have that same attitude. These things are going to get worse in our culture and in our country as it continues to go the way of the world. And unfortunately, it's crept into the church, starting with leaders, just as the book of Jude warns. It has crept in unnoticed. Well, now we're starting to notice. More people are starting to wake up. We are understanding what's happening prophetically, not just in America, but around the world. I think your listeners are more mature and can take this, yet it is disheartening if that's what you dwell on. Remember to plant yourself in the scriptures, dig down deep, set your heart and mind on things above, not on things that are of this earth.
Tap into David's podcast, Stand Up for the Truth. You find that at standupforthetruth.com, standupforthetruth.com. Fascinating guests and topics. Monday through Friday, you can access that online. It emanates out of Q90 in Green Bay, Wisconsin. David, thank you for all you do, by the way, and for your excellent book as well, Canceling Christianity. I'm going to give a couple of more verses to complement what David has just said and remind my audience that God knew all of this was going to happen before the beginning of time. It's a part of a grand plan as he winds down the church age, the age of grace. A couple of verses says in Psalm 31, "I trust in you, O Lord. Our times, crazy as they are, our times are in your hands." And the verse out of Isaiah 33:6, comforting verse, "And God will be the stability of your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge." I want to thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It is a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. We have a front row seat to watch predicted end time events as we watch everything fall into place.